Welcome back, DGS on KMOX 306. Michael Kelly joins us. How's Hancock doing over across the pond?
So I talked to him today. So it's probably nighttime there, right? Yeah. So he's getting ready to go to sleep. He'll wake up tomorrow, and he goes to see the actual snooker matches tomorrow.
Nice.
In Edinburgh. No, is it Edinburgh? No, Sheffield. Sheffield, okay. England. But he spent the whole week in London. He ran into some KMOX fans who talked to him about
cool.
Dave Glover and Hancock and Kelly and Charlie Brennan. And
how about that?
That's so cool.
And he says he's the only American at this tournament. I said, does that surprise you? He goes, yeah, we're a little bit of a unique thing. So good for him. It's
good
his
him.
Celebrating his 60th birthday. First time out of the country, 60 years old.
Wow.
Good for him, right?
That's really surprising.
Yeah. Like, even you would think you'd stumble into Mexico or Canada or something, but no.
I started the Michael Kelly segment last week telling you what a good host you are, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to do it again. I was with my mom this morning. She has KMOX going all the time, so I got to hear your interview with Bryce.
Oh, man.
God, it was so good. It was just riveting.
Yeah?
I kept telling my mom, shut up. Trying to listen to MK.
Well, first of all, thank you for the nice compliment twice. I hope my mother listening, because now she'll really think maybe you do know what you're doing. And then the second thing is Bryce a pretty cool dude? I mean,
very cool dude.
Just briefly, he was in a car. He worked with me. He was my pollster. Went to a polling conference in Chicago on Washington Avenue with his Michigan Avenue with his wife. Car running from the cops, winds up hitting him, pinning him, severs his legs off of him. Almost 2 years ago to the day. And we kind of talked about what it meant to him and how he came up with the strength to deal with it. He's 2 years later. He's still in rehab. He's still hoping to walk and run. He walked in on his own prosthetics today. And it's just, I don't know, man. You kind of throw the term hero around because somebody can slam a ball over a fence or, you know, whatever, sing a good song. When you see somebody like that, I mean, this guy had the world by the you-know-what, the tail. And these two young kids, a beautiful wife, and to have that injustice happen to you, you could sink into a place of, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have the strength in me. And to listen to him talk today about, you know, that was the first chapter of my life, and now I'm doing the second.
So you've been through all of this with him, even financially. What have you learned, or did it change your opinions at all about things like insurances?
Oh, have insurance. Even if you're a small business, I had insurance, so I'm grateful. You know, I have a small operation. We literally are in a room not much bigger than this. We've got computers, and we sit around and nobody's, you know, lifting boxes or doing stuff like that. So if you're under a certain amount of employees, you're not required to have workers' compensation, et cetera. Well, you know, fortunately, I had it. And, you know, Bryce was on a work trip. And in fact, you know, that today, I mean, his coverage, I can't get insurance from anybody ever again.
Oh, wow.
But I, you know, he's covered and taken care of for life. While it was important that I had it, it wasn't required. And so I'd share that with people. And because, you know, when you think about it, you think about somebody getting a hammer, hurting her arm or something, you know, who would think that it's some people sitting in an office, a couple of accountants, you're going to need it.
I'm surprised that no one will insure you because you would have to look at it and say, this is a one in a million thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think once people examine it, that's the case. But at the end of the day, you still have that check mark.
Yeah.
So I buy from the high risk pool. It exists because these types of things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And so there's a high risk pool. It costs it's a little bit different. I'd be lying to just pretend like I know all the details. Somebody has helped me with this, but it changed my beliefs on so many things. And then, you know, Dave, like, this is my friend. This is my buddy. I mean, I sometimes refer to these younger people who came and were attracted to work in the business with me as like my kids. Not that they're my kids, but they're younger than me. I mean, to watch this guy become a man and then kids, and to have this happen to him, on the, you know, walking on Michigan Avenue.
Yeah.
Going to dinner. Beautiful night. 6 o'clock. Wasn't doing anything wrong.
Did they ever catch the guy?
No.
Wow.
You know, and I did not ask him that today. I ask him every time.
Yeah.
And I didn't ask him that today, but it's the first question that people ask me.
Yeah.
And then, oh, did it happen here in St. Louis? No, this had happened about a year before the tragic situation with Janae Edmondson happened here. And, you know, I don't know this young girl. I've heard her on Camel X. I hope if she's struggling, obviously she's in a different lifetime, that part of her life than Bryce was, that they may be able to connect. Because I've single-handedly watched his attitude, and to do what he's done, it's incredible.
And it just goes to show you, we all know this, you know, I didn't know this. So I was, Rachel's 32, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was about 14 when I was 32, you know what
right.
I mean? I would not have understood anything in life can happen. You just don't think that way. But you get to 59, you realize anything can happen.
Right.
You can be going to dinner with your beautiful wife on a beautiful night, and some guy running from the cops
right.
hits you from behind. You don't even, literally don't see it coming.
Yeah. This little girl was here playing volleyball.
Right.
They were walking. I mean, I'm sure the volleyball was fun, but I remember when I did those sports trips, I was more excited to get back to the hotel and
yeah.
the pool.
Have fun.
I mean, think about this. This was a child, and to have that happen, and I'm guilty of it. I guarantee you guys are too, unless you have made some profound steps. You take a look down at your phone. You check it when the text message comes in at a stop sign. You do it. I really try to input Bryce into my mind at all times to try to prevent me from doing it. And I'm still have troubles not breaking that little code.
We'll break a little bit early and have a longer segment when we come back. I have a topic for us. 319 DGS, Michael Kelly hanging out with us. So I rarely get mean email anymore. And I, like Rach knows, I never grew my second skin. I get my feelings hurt and such. But this one made me sad for a different reason. And it's going to, when I tell you what the guy said in the email, it's going to sound meaner than it came across. He didn't strike me as a jerk. But he said, he's like, I've listened to you for years and used to be a lot more conservative. And he's obviously he's a big conservative. And he said, let me give you some career advice. He said, what you consider to be reason, I consider to be cowardice. And what you consider to be textured, I consider to be noncommittal. And he said, you should take a stand and give opinions that someone will agree with, whether that's MAGA or it's AOC, but no one wants to play in the middle.
Really?
That's what he said.
I wish more would try to play in the middle, because I think the most of us are in the middle.
I've always thought so.
Yeah, I mean, like, even pick a subject, Palestine, Israel. I think we all say, man, Israel's our ally. We got to take care of them. These are the Jews and the anti-Semitism and blah, blah, blah. And at the same time, you can look at these kids dying and think, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
I think
mm-hmm.
that's where the majority of people are. I don't think it's a black-white.
Why does no one market to us?
I think it's just easier to market to the other people. To the, you know, the very
you have the built-in
strident.
Passion.
Exactly. And it's like there's a solid message that you can fall back onto. It's like, hey, these are the talking points, so we can just do that. Someone like you, Dave, you don't really have talking points. You just have your own common sense and your own beliefs. So you're not going to have that mass, you know, everyone on this side of the aisle agrees with me. But there, like Michael said, there are so many people in the middle, and we get so many more, you know, email and comments and phone calls of people saying, like, this is why I listen to the show, is because you don't know exactly what Dave's going to say, and he is going to approach it in a fair and honest way.
Yeah, he said, I don't respect that you will abandon a position. And I didn't write the guy back yet. I will. I didn't want to write him back angry. But I consider that brave.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to take in information and change your stance. Even a fairly big change. I've had some fairly big changes in my politics in the last few years, and I'm sure there was some emotion involved, but it was really just taking in new information and saying, I think I've made the wrong call on this. Here's my new position. But even that position is malleable,
right?
Because once you dig in, you stop thinking and you just keep defending.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Profiles in Courage. There's books written about people who kind of stand by their principles. And it shouldn't be as rare as it is. But I don't know. That's kind of why I've always related to the plain-spoken, folksy person who's just going to tell you what it is. I mean, not be overtly rude. I think we've slid into overt rudeness. I was thinking, when 2004, when Mr. Gephardt ran for president, and I was working for him, that was when Howard Dean was running. You had George W. Bush running for re-election. You had Howard Dean, John Kerry, John Edwards. Mm. Every one of those candidates was running on a positive message, a message of aspiration, a message of change, no doubt about change, but things that could be better. And I've noticed, even in my own work-wise, with the messages that test, the words that are working now are anger. They're not messages of unity. They're not message of hope. They're not people, in fact, you know, talking about that the next generation behind you may not do as well as the last generation. That's really tragic if you think about it, but that's a motivator. It's really a different culture than what I experienced even a decade and a half, two decades ago. I don't hear much aspirations out of these folks running for president now, do you?
No, this is for Michael and for Rach and Andrew. The younger people, the ones, that's not fair. I was going to say the younger people, the ones we see protesting, that's a tiny percentage of young people. But what is your sense of people your age and maybe a few years younger, if you have a feel for that, as far as they are about extremism versus the more textured approach?
I think it's really easy when you're young. I know that this happened to me. So I can say that in my opinion, it was easier for me as a younger person. I think it's easier when you're young to fall into extremism because there's a lot easier sense of like black and white, right? When you're younger, you haven't seen as much.
And you're by nature rebelling against your parents and
the government as you see it, authority as you see it. And it's easy to look around when you're younger. And, you know, the fact is you haven't seen as much, or at least most people haven't seen as much when they're younger. So you look around and you go, this is an easy solution. Let's just make it like this and do this. And then you'll do whatever you can to reach that. But I have found personally, as I've gotten older, I wouldn't say I've softened so much as I've learned and taken in new information. And that's reformed the way that I look at certain issues in my brain. And I still feel strongly about a lot of the same stuff that I felt back then.
Do you feel like if you were at Lewis and Clark today, or WashU today, because I don't think Lewis and Clark's having any protests, would you be in one of those campgrounds?
I don't think so. I was never much of a protester. I never saw the practical good that can come out of it. I think that there are ways to help that are not. It's hard for me to look at what those kids are doing and think like, this is really helping Palestine.
Do you think the protests in general, and I'm not talking about either side, I'm talking in general, are they helping or hurting in general?
The biggest problem that I see with the protests and that I always felt about protests is that I don't think you're doing either. I don't think that nobody who was super pro-Israel and super, you know, doesn't care what's going on with Palestine, those people are not having their minds changed, and it's not changing minds the other way either. Your protest, it always felt to me like you're protesting for yourself.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like these kids, they're protesting to divest in Israel, and they're certainly putting a lot of pressure on these universities. I mean, who knows whether they will or won't, but they could have
it's
the
working
outcome that they want. Yeah. They're getting people to talk about it at least. I don't know. I think just talking to people my age, I can't really speak for kids younger. I think there are a lot of people, not in the middle, but a lot of people who you would think like, oh, that's their politics. And then you have a conversation with them, and it turns out that we as humans just have so much more in common than we are led to believe.
Yeah.
So I think more people are reachable. More people are willing to have a conversation. It's just we're so siloed when it comes to social media or, you know, the traditional media that you intake that you think there's this huge divide. And much of the time, like, that's actually not true.
It's so much more difficult and yet so much easier to have dialogue. Both things are true.
Yeah. I wonder how much the original question I heard you ask about whether or not you could see yourself getting caught up in the protest. This particular issue, absolutely not. But a younger Michael Kelly at 20-something years old at a college probably could have gotten swept up into some issue. I don't know what it is, not this very specific one. I think it would have been out of two things. Like Andrew said, you've not realized there's gray in life. You think everything's black and white, and it was something to do. I do think there's community
crowd
going around whatever it is today that people are involved in.
334 DJS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. The sun just came out outside the KMOX window. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Oh, I didn't know you wanted it any earlier.
No, you did.
I would have worked that out for you.
You did it just as Sister Christian came on. You made the sun come out.
It was poetic.
So more unsettled?
Yeah, more unsettled. But again, we've been stressing there's going to be a fair amount of dry time. But when we do get the showers and thunderstorms that move overhead, they're pretty efficient. There's some pretty heavy rain showers that come with these things, downpours of rain. We're quiet this evening. We're quiet overnight, 58 for the low. Think upper 60s to near 70 for early evening plans. Saturday, partly sunny, a lot of dry time, but we'll be watching for some scattered showers and thunderstorms during the afternoon on Saturday. 82 prime time on Saturday, 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., and a couple of those storms could go strong to severe. So that's a window that we need to kind of pay attention to. It's not going to be widespread as far as severe weather is concerned. Scattered evening thunderstorms Saturday night, otherwise mostly cloudy, 58. Sunday, partly sunny, some scattered thunderstorms, 79. Prime time on Sunday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. The risk for strong to severe weather on Sunday is pretty limited. Still scattered thunderstorms on Monday. And then the atmosphere gets a little bit of a push, and I think we'll start to see an uptick in the possibility, anyway, of severe weather Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. All that action that's been out in the plains for at least, 6 days, 7 days, is going to start to edge a little bit closer as we get into early to the middle part of next week.
Okay, good enough. Headlines, Rach.
Brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. Have you heard of Sam Ash Music Stores?
Oh, yeah.
They are unfortunately closing all stores in the United States for good. They announced this week that it would close all of their locations nationwide and begin a liquidation sale. They've been in the business for 100 years. The first store was opened in 1924. And 27 stores remain open in the U.S. They will all be closing. It reminds me of Sam Goody. You guys remember Sam Goody store?
Record store?
Yeah. It's just sad to see it go. All right, and this is an incredible story. An eighth grader parked a bus after the school bus driver passed out. This happened in Wisconsin, and they're calling the 14-year-old boy a hero after he saved his schoolmates from a terrible accident. His name is A.C. Holland III. So speaking of, why don't we go by the third and the fourth anymore? A.C. Holland III was riding home from middle school when the bus driver suffered a medical emergency and passed out, causing the bus to veer into oncoming traffic. AC quickly pulled the driver's foot off the gas, hit the brake, and safely parked the bus. Ooh. He then called 911, checked on the other students, and called his grandma, who's a nurse.
Jeez.
I know. I
love
mean, he's
it.
Really
better
doing
than
it
I
all.
Would have done.
I know. Congratulations to AC. That is very, very impressive.
Dave, your son's not a junior, is he?
No, he's not.
Did you consider that?
No, never.
I didn't either. It seemed seemed like a screw-in.
And it wasn't a thing in our family either.
Same.
It wasn't one of I see that. If it's been part of your family for generations, I see that. Mm-hmm.
I think famous people tend to do it more than non-famous people, and I think that's wrong. Like being Dave Murray Jr., I mean that's tough.
Don't want him to deal with that.
No.
Dave Murray's like, there can only be one.
That's not how I look at it. It's like I don't want to strap somebody with that when they don't need to be.
No. Right. Agreed.
All right, the Maryland Bridge will take 4 years and $1.9 billion to replace.
Isn't it crazy that there are a pretty good number of people who could pay for that out of their pockets.
Yeah,
that's nuts.
Elon could take care of this for us in a snap. Yeah,
he either made or lost $1.9 billion today just in investments.
Just crazy. So Generation Z is addicted to fast fashion sites like Shein and Temu. And as a result, Zoomers are racking up credit card debt and falling behind on payments faster than any other generation. This is according to a report by ThredUp. ThredUp is like a secondhand clothing store that you can go to online. 72% of Gen Zers reported shopping at a fast fashion retailer the previous year, and a third described themselves as, quote, addicted. Some say it's less about what they buy and more about the frenzy of blackout shopping or the rush of spending and the feeling of anticipation before the items arrive.
What's blackout shopping?
The rush of spending. Gotcha. And then anticipating getting that package in the mail.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
I know. That's the thing with online shopping is it's like you're buying yourself a little treat for the future.
Yeah.
And you can just look forward to it. But you could get how that feeling could become addictive, and some people just do it over and over and over again.
It's also unfortunate because those fast fashion sites, I mean, aside from the fact that, of course, they use, you know, the sweatshops like everybody else or whatever, but they're terrible quality. I mean, they're awful clothes. They fit weird. They're made weird. They fall apart almost instantly.
Is it true? I feel dumb even asking this, but is it just an urban legend that some of the clothing made in China, people will stick little notes in or write little things?
I mean, if it's an urban legend, it got me because I have seen this on TikTok, so who knows if it's true, but I've seen the same thing, Dave, where they've like sewn in, like, please help.
Yeah, I've
or
heard.
Please
that.
Stop buying from here or something like that.
I've never seen one myself, but I have heard of it.
Well, and Andrew brought up how terrible the quality of the clothes are. Fast fashion has never been faster. I mean, my whole life, there's been like a churn of like, okay, this is a trend for 2 years and then it goes away. Now it feels like it's a trend for a week or 2 weeks because of things like TikTok and just social media, the way things move so quickly that if you really want to be trendy and you really want to stay up on the latest things, you are purchasing so many different items. So a lot of people resort to these fast fashion sites where they can get, you know, all the goods they want for cheap. And it's very unfortunate because it causes a lot of waste.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to point that out. Mm-hmm.
John Kerry is going to get the Medal of Freedom today, actually. And he's the former Secretary of State, a senator, and the first special presidential envoy for climate. He'll be awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, if I can talk, at the White House.
So real question, why is he getting it? What makes him special? Is it his climate stuff?
They didn't say exactly why he is
his career and his career in general, maybe.
Yeah, because I mean, there have been. Didn't Ellen DeGeneres get one? Like, why does she get one? I could be fake news, but I feel like there's a picture in my brain of Barack Obama giving her one. Donald Trump delivered pizza to New York City firefighters yesterday after spending a day in court for his hush money trial. He delivered pizzas to firefighters and met with them, posed for photos, and signed a day book writing, quote, "I love you all, special people."
I don't want to make headlines political, but I have to at least comment on this. I was sickened and disgusted yesterday when Donald Trump came out and he gave his comments and they asked if he was going to testify. And he said, well, I'm not allowed to, am I? Because of the gag order. Now, he's not that stupid. So he's playing everyone. If he is that stupid, he should get out of the race because every third grader in America knows you have the right to testify in your defense. But what made me really disgusted as a lawyer was he turned to his lawyer and he goes, that's right, right? And his lawyer's like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Grow a set, you piece of crap. Grow a set and say, no, you have the absolute right to testify. And we may not, but that is our right to decide. There are things that you can talk about where you're like, well, you know, intelligent minds can agree and disagree. Nope, not this one.
Well, that's just part of the Trump playbook, isn't it? Implying something or straight up saying something that
isn't
true.
Think of the millions of people who believe that.
Well, yeah, because they believe their president. So why would he lie to me? Why would he tell something that isn't the truth? But, I mean,
also,
he unfortunately does
just,
that.
Also, just equal anger? Anger. The White House itself came out and said that they've had to make 142 or 52, I forget, but it's between those numbers, basically 150 corrections to things that Joe Biden has said so far.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of them were simple, like, hey, I'm in Poughkeepsie when he was in Pittsburgh. Some were not so simple. But yeah, it was the White House themselves saying, hey, 152 of these.
And I'm sure that's a combination of his age and also just Joe Biden being kind of fast and loose with the facts as well. So. Yeah. All right, final story here. A rare zoo monkey has been named, zoo monkeys have been named after Caitlin Clark. On February 22nd, the Blank Park Zoo in Des Moines was blessed with the birth of two cotton-top tamarins. I hope I'm saying that right. That's an endangered species of monkey. And they were asking fans to name the duo. In a Facebook post yesterday, they wrote, "We'd like to introduce you to Caitlin and Clark."
That's a little cutesy for me.
Well, hey, that's not? The whole
why not,
name
though?
In there.
Are you flattered? Or if that happens to you? Or
oh,
are you
David and Glover?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
David and Glover.
What about Glover and Murray?
Glover.
Yeah. Glover and Murray.
Yeah, there you go.
That would be like, if I get, maybe if I get like some goldfish or something, I'll name them Glover and Murray.
Dave, have a great weekend, man.
You too, guys.
All right, it's Friday. It means we're going to try to have as much fun as we can. Coming up at 4 p.m., Michael Calhoun is very excited about playing Battle of the Halfwits.
Ooh, good.
Good questions. It should be a lot of fun. Wheels left a little bit early today. He has to coach a youth baseball game. He's huge into that, and they scheduled it for 5 p.m. out in Chesterfield, so he took off a little bit early. Let's do some fast food news. I have the first story, and I really don't know how the two of you are going to come down on this. Taco Bell is testing new crispy chicken nuggets to compete with Chick-fil-A.
I'm in.
Well, that didn't take long.
Yeah, I'm easy. Ooh. No, I think Taco Bell has a unique infrastructure to try out chicken nuggets. And by that, I mean they are not afraid to bring in new and interesting sauces.
Do they fry anything currently?
Boy.
Do they fry anything?
Yeah.
They have. They had that taco that, like, the shell was chicken.
Yeah, they had that. So
I didn't like that, so they're going to have to convince me with the nuggets, honestly.
Now, see, I loved that. Now, this is a KFC's done, KFC. Taco Bell's done a couple things with fried chicken in the past. They've had the fried chicken quesadilla, Rachel, I'm sure remembers.
Oh, that one was great. That was awesome.
And they have the thing where the fried chicken was the shell of the taco. Almost like a chicken patty that you kind of fold up like a taco and fill with the taco toppings.
I thought they had a soft taco that just had like a fried chicken tender in it. Maybe I'm making that up.
No, they definitely did have something like that at some point. I have been a huge fan of all the fried type of things that Taco Bell
tried
to do.
Now they're just
going to
do chicken nuggets.
And like I said, they're not afraid to bring in like new interesting sauces, which I think is key.
Who is in second place behind Chick-fil-A?
For the nugs?
For the nugs.
McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's.
I'm a huge fan of the McNugget, man.
It's the classic?
Yep.
The one that looks like a boot?
Yep. The boot is it's a almost perfect nugget.
Have they changed them over the years?
No, and that's to their strength.
Did they start using chicken?
Well, allegedly they started using chicken, but that's to their strength. I mean, when you bite into like a crispy,
tastes like childhood.
Fresh, well-made nugget, it tastes just like it did when you were in second grade or whatever. Like it is it is all there.
I remember, you know, whenever you graduate from the Happy Meal to the normal food.
Yes.
And
it's a big day.
My brother's 2 years older than me, so he had, you know, made the leap sooner, and he would always get McChickens, and I was like all scared of him, and he was like, "You don't understand. It's like a big chicken nugget." And then I was like, "All right. I'm
you
down."
Were afraid of it?
I was skeptical. Yeah. I was skeptical.
Intimidated?
I'm like, it doesn't come with a toy, so how is it worth my time?
Yeah, Rachel's like, chicken sandwich. I've never seen a chicken sandwich. I'm not so sure.
We just saw my good friend Katie Giambretz the other day.
Yeah.
I've told this story before. Her dad, Glenn. Hey, Glenn, what's up? Created the Happy Meal.
That is so crazy. That's so cool.
An all-time
genius. So cool.
An all-time marketing
Shouldn't
genius.
He get like one of those busts of himself in the Missouri Capitol.
He should be getting
that
Presidential Medal of Freedom.
He deserves it more than Ellen.
He created the friggin' Happy Meal.
Yes.
I came really close to saying the real F word.
What if that was the
it's
first
Glenn
time?
It's Glenn Giambretz in the Happy Meal. Yeah, what if it's the first time in 24 years?
On the radio.
You want another fast food story? Krispy Kreme is launching an unprecedented rewards program with a free original glazed dozen and 12 days of deals. So this is cool. All rewards members, all new Krispy Kreme rewards members will receive a complimentary original glazed dozen. That's a pretty incredible deal.
$15.
And then in addition to that, you will get get 12 consecutive days of deals featuring complimentary donuts and coffee. This is stretching until May 11th. So if you are a Krispy Kreme fan, go ahead and sign up.
Yeah, I like a deal that's a deal.
I'm going to be racking up so many points, they're going to have to give me a franchise. I'm going to be cashing in $35 million.
Look, we owe this guy $500. We can't. We've done the math over and over again.
He pulls up in the drive-thru. They just hand him the keys to the store.
He had 65 million rewards points. There was nothing we could do.
Mr. Stoles.